Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hi, this is Stephen O'Doherty. I hope that, like me, you love learning from people who are wise. Well, that's exactly what happened when I recently caught up with Dr. Miriam Rose Ungermar. Miriam Rose was the first Aboriginal to become a trained teacher in the Northern Territory and went on to become the principal of a local Catholic school. Her artwork is incredible, and it's just been featured in a beautiful book published by the Bible Society for its 200th anniversary. Her depictions of Mary and Jesus at the Stations of the Cross certainly gave me some new insights into the spirituality of Aboriginal Christians. But most of all, from Miriam Rose, I learned about Dadidi, a practice of deep listening, which she believes is healing for Aboriginal people and for non-Aboriginal people, and will help in the important work of reconciliation.
This is sound, the sound of deep calling to deep. Dadidi, the deep inner spring inside us. We call on it, and it calls on us.
I believe that it's important to make people aware of who they are, what they're doing today, where they're going, where they've come from, where they belong. As often as they can, and Dadidi is a word in my language that says those things that I said earlier. Sometimes we forget who we are, I suppose, and where we're going, and it helps us in an awakening of ourselves and our spirit.
One of the wonderful things about what you're doing is that you're connecting this sense of belonging and finding your place in the world and in the land and from the environment around you. You're connecting that with the voice of God. Talk to me about that.
Christianity is not so long ago have been introduced to this community, and it was the request of our elders in the 50s. And people here in the community have automatically gelled in it, you know. Even though some people said that Christianity was forced on us, but it wasn't.
We are river people. We cannot hurry the river. We need to move with the current and understand its ways. We wait for the rain to fill our rivers and water our thirsty earth.
I read a quote where you said that when you're really tuned into what the environment is saying to you, what the land is saying to you, then that's when you can hear the voice of Jesus.
I can pray better in the bush than in the church.
Oh, I believe that.
Well, look, I see Christ or God in nature, the universe, in the rain, you know?
Yes.
And because we're connected to the land, we belong to the land. That's why that makes it more understandable, I suppose.
Yes.
It's easier for me as an Indigenous person to connect with God because we believe and do our best to understand spirits in other people. You know, you've got a spirit, I have a spirit. We've got to nurture each other. I do that a lot with the children here.
We wait for our young people as they grow.
You've developed a program for young people that I'd love to talk about, Strong Spirit, Strong Body. It is, of course, a national puzzle and a national tragedy to see what happens to many Aboriginal young people. We're living through inquiries into Dondale and so on. Can you help me to understand what's going on there and where some of the answers might lie?
Well, I suppose when I was growing up, there was nothing to influence. Look, there's no things that I had to face. Well, things weren't coming at me as fast as the young people are having these. We've never had TV. We've never had heaps of money. We've never had fast cars, that sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's heaps of things that young people today have got to face.
How can you help those kids?
People forget that each and every one of those children, young people, they've got a spirit. You just got to tap into that source in them and say, hey, you know, I'm here. I suppose they're fearful of people trying to offer to say that they want to help, because, like I said again before, they've been shunned from pillar to post, you know, from since the time that they started walking, I suppose.
Yes, and what has that done to their spirit?
Yeah, it's just, I suppose you can say, a drooping spirit. Yes. That spirit has to be nurtured.
Is this one of the reasons government policy is not working so well?
No one's listening. A lot of the time it's top-down. That's what I was trying to say before, you know.
Yes.
When you ask me, well, what are the issues that people are having today and why are these kids that end up, why is it that these kids end up in Don Dale? Touch wood, a lot of kids from here aren't there. And it's because there are... I'm also trying to get some of the other families to understand that they've got to be there for the kids, and young people have got to feel that they belong and to be made important. Sure, they might be troublesome, but we've got to be there to bring them back down, to say, hey, you know, go this way, not that way, sort of thing, you know.
And is it working?
Yes. Yes. You know, with... attempts of suicide here in the community. We've had seven loss. We've lost seven people, and one girl and all the rest were fellas. And the last one that went was a 22-year-old, and that was the baby that was in the arms of Pope John Paul. That's my nephew. He took his life.
Oh, no.
And then I said, that's it. I've got to do something to help these young ones, you know?
Yes.
And so... I started up NAG. It's called Know You. Know is the name of the community. And Action Group.
Yes.
NAG. So I was nagging government.
Oh, I see.
I was also nagging the families.
Yes.
They all come together. And all the families that have lost their loved ones. And said, can we get a walk and say that this is our problem. Look after our young people more.
Yes.
And got all the specialist people from outside to come and support us, you know, mental health people, health department.
And you've seen a change in the attitude of young people? How is that working?
Look, this is not going to stop young people from doing, you know, attempting to do it again or whatever.
Yes.
At least the families here in the community know what to look for and how to react. Straight away when there's a young one that's feeling that way, you know, or anybody for that matter. It doesn't have to be young people. It could be older people.
You're listening to Open House, and our guest tonight is Dr. Miriam Rose Ungermar, and we're speaking about the Dairy and a program called NAG, Nagging Government. And I just like the sound of it. I just think that's beautiful. There's another side to your personality which is so beautiful, and that is you're an extraordinarily talented artist. We'll have links on our website for people to find out, but I'm looking at pictures of your Stations of the Cross work, which is about a dozen panels or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're full of deep spiritual insight. Can you talk to us about the times when Jesus and Mary, his mother, are interacting?
The station where Jesus meets his mother, Mary, when he's carrying a cross on his way to Calvary, covered in blood, and he's been whipped, and he had a crown of thorn hammered into his head, and he's bleeding severely. You know, for a mother to see a son in that way is devastating. All she wants to do is run up and hug him and comfort him. Mary doesn't do that. And that's Aboriginal way of comforting, depicting that picture.
Which way is that, Miriam?
Mary just goes and holds his hands and exchanging grace.
Yes.
And for Aboriginal women, for an adult son, we're not allowed to hug them.
Oh, I see.
Because they've gone through ceremony, and that's all we can do to comfort our sons.
I see.
So, and sometimes when I explain that to Westerners, especially women, they feel devastated. From the time they reach 12 and then over, we're not allowed to hug them.
Yes.
Hug them or comfort them in that way.
But then Mary meets Jesus again, and you've depicted that as well.
At the end of the cross, and he's now dead. When you look at the painting, the patterns on both of them, the dots and the lines, they are woven as one. So again, there's that grace of them, the support for each other.
Yes.
And I suppose the burden is not as heavy, you know, with the grace going through and the peacefulness.
Yes.
But it is hurting for Mary to see her son. It is, yeah, sad to see her son in that fashion. But it's okay now to hold her son because he's dead.
Yes.
Yeah. The time for rebirth is now. If our culture is alive and strong and respected, it will grow. It will not die, and our spirit will not die. I believe that the spirit of Dadidi that we have to offer will blossom and grow, not just within ourselves, but in our whole nation.
I long for reconciliation between our First Peoples and other Australians. But I think you've shown me a way that we might be able to progress that by finding peace within ourselves first.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. We've got to find peace within ourselves before we can go and say peace be with you, you know, to somebody else.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying in Badidi. This is what Australia is thirsting for.
Dr. Miriam Rose Ungermaier. And her foundation is miriamrosefoundation.org.au. And that piece featured the music of Michael Kokinos.